glad to have you with us tonight. Let's bow and pray, may we? Father, we thank you for thy word, which we've heard sung, which we ourselves have sung, which we have felt, which we have heard spoken. And now as we break the bread of life, we pray your blessings upon the speaker and upon the listeners, that the words might find a very special lodging place in all of our hearts, to our own edification and to the furtherance of thy kingdom. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Somebody asked me what God is doing. I want to tell you some of the things that God is doing. And the scripture that I'll be using tonight is printed for you in case you didn't bring your Bibles. You can follow with me. One lady said, "Is what you said the other morning really in the Bible? I didn't have my Bible with me. I wish I had it printed out so I could read it." Well, we've done this for you tonight because the Lord has really placed upon my heart to share with you what God is doing. The Spirit of the Lord is moving so fast in some parts of the world that it's just unreal. It's unbelievable. It's not a week go by that I don't pick up the newspaper that has a religious slant to it or pick up a church bulletin where they're writing about missionary paragraphs and not read that the Spirit of God is moving. In Africa, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. People are being baptized. They're being saved. They're coming into the kingdom. They're taking another step and going into the fuller kingdom, that is, being baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's happening in Indonesia. It's happening in all parts of the world, and King City is part of the world, too, for those who live on the other part of the world. Do you know that last month people were raised from the dead in Africa? And they were raised by the dead by people like you who are nothing but Christians. They didn't know any better. The scripture says that the believers will do these things. And as a result of this, this is why the power of God is so phenomenal across the world. The people are just doing things because they don't know better. We know better because we have been taught, we've been programmed, and we have learned. And as Dick said to the young people at the snow camp, if the Lord could just unscrew our head and screw us on a new one, then we'd be free of all of the hang-ups, and we would see miracles untold in our own families, in our own city. What God is doing, well, he's doing a great work. He's doing it because he promised he was going to do it. Joel 2, verse 28 and verse 29. It's on the mimeograph sheet if you wanted to follow with me. I say this, the Lord, through Joel, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now this is a promise. And all of the promises in God's word have or will come to pass. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, the writer says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, which I just read to you. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your daughters sons shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Paul says this is what happened as a result of what was prophesied. And this is what is happening today in the further fulfillment of this prophecy upon all flesh, which includes we who live in King City. And it's his spirit is being poured out because he has chosen this time just to pour his spirit out. And as a result of the pouring out of his spirit, they shall speak with new tongues, the scripture says. Follow in Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, you'll read, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Before we comment, let me read 1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law it is written, this refers to Isaiah 28, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. In the law it is written, that which was the prophecy in Isaiah 28, and there it says, I will speak to the people through stammering lips with a foreign tongue. And he who said, here is the rest, you take the rest. In Hebrews, the writer says, the people have missed the rest because they have not received. Some would take this rest as being heaven. But I think if, as you study, and you could realize that there is a possibility that it could refer to the rest that is given to the people of God when they enter into the Spirit. Into the things of the Spirit. I don't know what God is doing for everybody in the world, but I know what he's doing for me and what he did for me when he saved my soul and made me whole. And then I know what he did for me further when I just allowed him to baptize me. And this he did. I'm sure that I was more reluctant than he was, but he did this. What God is doing today is a marvelous, wonderful thing. And he's doing it to all the people who want to participate in it. And for those who don't want to participate in it, they don't have to, because you don't have to. It's something that you can do. And that is to realize the fullness of the Spirit of God. Now, to speak upon this adequately, I think we need to realize there are three kinds of baptisms. You'll find them on the printed sheet. The first baptism we read about in 1 Corinthians 12:13, and for this study tonight, they are typed out so we can follow. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Well, we have, because of our various thinkings, divided the one Spirit into different camps. And we have great Lutheran camps, and we have great Episcopal camps, and we have great assembly camps, and we have Baptist camps and community camps and all kind of camps that we have. But Jesus says, by one Spirit, we were all baptized. Now, the Holy Spirit is the baptizer at this point. When you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came to you as a baptizer, you as the candidate, and he baptized you into the body of Christ. And we're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about being baptized into the Catholic Church, the universal church, God's one church. The Holy Spirit was a baptizer. He baptized your heart into the body of Christ. Then the thing that followed was this. Acts 1:5, John baptized with water. It is something that the Bible says we are to do. And there are many modes of baptism. You can be sprinkled, you can pour, you can immerse. Well, so there are three. Or maybe you may go through all of them. But there are these three. Regardless of the mode in which you were baptized or the one that you adhere to now, the second kind of baptism is the baptism where man is the baptizer. Man is the candidate, and we are baptized into a liquid solution. The baptistry behind me and before you is filled with water, and when a person decides to follow Jesus, then they are baptized, and they are buried in the water. They're like being buried in the King City Cemetery. They are buried completely under the water. But not to stay long, they experience the resurrection, and they come up to walk in the newness of life. And it's a picture, it's a symbol of a person who is going to be buried to an old way of living and then be resurrected to walk in the newness of life. So this is the second type baptism. Man is the baptizer. The pastor baptizes a man as a candidate into the liquid water. The third kind of baptism that is not spoken about much in churches in days gone by, but increasingly so now, is where Jesus is the baptizer. I say increasingly so now because there is hardly a week go by that I don't hear of a new situation developing somewhere in the country. Every week a new home Bible study springs up across the land in America. And this is because in the churches they are now beginning to see that what lay dead for so long is now beginning to move and come alive and become vibrant by the Spirit of God. Now the scripture I read is Matthew 3:11. As for me, John is speaking now, I baptize you in water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, as you follow across in our study, Jesus is the baptizer, man is the candidate, and they are being baptized into the Holy Ghost. So one of you are thinking, if not two, three, or four, or five, well, why didn't we hear about this a long time ago? Well, because a long time ago, your pastor didn't know about it. That's one thing. Secondly, the churches have for so many years been content in doing it themselves. And they have devised some of the greatest programs of all history. And they work. But I got to thinking, instead of pushing the program, why not Jesus? Why not sit in my office and let people come to me instead of my coming to them? And that's what's been happening the last three-fourths or a year. Jesus is the baptizer, and man is the candidate, and we are baptized into the Holy Spirit. This is what the early church did. They did it effectively. They did it systematically. But then, as the church developed, the wheels began turning, and the people started thinking, well, why don't we do it something this way or that way? And they became so involved in the big I that they forgot Jesus. They preached Jesus. They spoke of Jesus. But Jesus was not elevated nor lifted up. Well, today he is increasingly so. And I know that there are people in every church represented in our city who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The denominations that we represent have people, and we have pastors. And this may shock you, but across the land of the United States of America, of all the pastors and assistant pastors in every denomination, 1/10 of them now are Spirit-filled. And it is moving, and it is moving, and it is moving. And so a pastor says to me, you know, and he wasn't one who lived in town. He said, I'm worried about losing all of my sheep to that church across town. This was not in King City. And the remark made to him was, well, if you just get baptized by the Holy Spirit, you won't lose any sheep. You'll just gain more and more and more. This is what's happening in our country. If you, being evil, we read in Luke 11:13, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I don't know why it is we have to wait until after the sermon to ask people if they want to be saved or if they want to receive the baptism. God doesn't have such a crazy timetable. In fact, he can even do without the pastor on many occasions. I just heard this afternoon of a man who was speaking about healing, and he himself was quite ill, had to leave the platform even. After he left, there were all kind of healings that took place in the congregation. And he said, my goodness, Lord, you didn't even need me there. He doesn't. And that's why when we form a circle or when we are praying, God can use any one of you to speak forth in prophecy, to speak forth a word of knowledge or wisdom. God can use us all. But I think we have to have the Holy Spirit. And Luke says, if you're wanting to be so good to your children, and yet you're so evil, how much more will God give? And notice the word give. He will give if you ask. A man told me last week, rather he questioned me, he said, why do I have to ask? we were playing golf in Salinas, and he always asked me at the wrong time. And I said to him, didn't you have to ask for your salvation? Now here, this is a man up the ladder, so to speak, in our denomination that our church represents, on charter at least. And after missing the putt, he said, yes, yes, yes. Well, we have to ask to be saved, and we have to ask to be baptized. Now, there are situations where there are people who have received and not asked verbally. But I'm persuaded that inwardly their heart was in such a condition that God could do nothing less than just pour out his Spirit. So what's so good about it? Well, the song we sang a moment ago is joy, love, prosperity, peace, all of these things come. Can I have them if I'm just a Christian? Sure you can. But if you're Spirit baptized, you will experience the things even greater. And your life will even show it. One thing that'll happen is John 7, 38 and 39, which records it. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus had to die for our sins. Jesus had to leave so that right now his Holy Spirit could be passed out to all people. Come on in. If Jesus had not gone, then he could not have been able to say, I'm going to send a comforter, and that comforter is going to just to pour out his Spirit upon all people everywhere, in Timbuktu, in King City, wherever, whenever, whenever and whenever people ask. Well, there are three kinds of baptism. Holy Spirit as the baptizer, man as the baptizer, Jesus as the baptizer, and into the Holy Ghost. What I say now is not accurate because we don't keep records of this, believe it or not, of all the records we keep. But I know of at least 24 people who have asked to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, either in my office, in the church sanctuary, or in one of the home Bible studies that we have. And of the 24, 22 have received. And that's almost, well, anyway, that's a good percentage. If it was one more, it'd be 88%. Okay. The point is that all can receive. A pastor says, I would like to give you the opportunity to be baptized by the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. So seven people come forward, and so prayer is had. It's no big deal. They just are prayed for, and they ask Jesus to baptize them, and all seven people go away. Husband and wife came into the office of a pastor, and the pastor had just spoken about what can happen when you give your heart to Jesus and what can happen when you give your life to Jesus, your whole life, and let him just come out of your life. And neither one had received when they had been prayed for. They were seated across from the pastor, and he said, I looked at them, and I said to him, would you like to receive the baptism? And he said, yes. Do you believe you can? Yes. I asked her, can you? Yes. Do you want to? Yes. Why don't you ask the Lord too? And so they were reluctant. So he said, follow me in this prayer. And he gave a very simple prayer. And the people followed. And the pastor started speaking forth in tongues. And his wife just looked at him and just started laughing. And then she did too.
Praise God.
It all happens. He that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's because, my friend, when you're saved, Jesus comes into your heart and gives you his Holy Spirit. And as you allow it to be released, you receive a baptism. You can let the baptism be on you or out of you. I like it coming out of you for this reason. Baptism, when you baptize in water, is not baptism until the candidate is brought up. And it's the coming out that makes the baptism. It's the coming out of our heart that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants to baptize you right now, all of you. Why not receive it when you can receive it? I've told some of you this, but let me repeat it for the many who haven't heard. When Trudy Irwin, our church secretary, tried to repair a tape last summer, the tape became broken, and since I had some experience in repairing the tape, I repaired the tape. And then I decided I would listen to it just to make sure that I had put the right side together, because both sides looked alike on this tape. They both were shiny. I put it back in the cassette and I listened to it, and what I heard made me laugh. And so I listened to the next few minutes and I laughed a little more. And then I decided best I listen to this whole tape. I didn't know who the speaker was, but I thought I'd better listen to it because it really made me listen. So I grabbed the cassette that we had in the office because I had an appointment out in the country. I took the tape with me and I listened all the way out. And I was I was on pins and needles to leave that house so I could listen to the rest of the tape all the way back. And what I heard was this. In a meeting just like this, small, one evening, the pastor had preached about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there were some people who wanted to receive. They came forward, they were prayed for, and many received. But there was one who didn't. And so she went home a little disturbed. She went home a little despondent, discouraged, blue, because she really believed. Her husband was watching a television program, most uninteresting, so she went to her bedroom. She knelt beside her bed, and she said, "Lord, I believe you can baptize me, and all I've got to do is say, Jesus, baptize me. Jesus, baptize me." Only three words, "Jesus, baptize me. I will do this again." And she prayed, "Jesus, baptize me." And as soon as she did that, she heard the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. Because that's what we read about in Acts that occurred, which was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And she immediately broke forth in tongues. And then she realized the furnace had just gone on. Well, what was so different about being in the church and being in her bedroom? Only one thing. There was something that released her faith. Her faith was not released. In my case, it was faith. I couldn't release it. And that's why for many, many moons, I did not have my tongues when I could have had it. This is why I say, if I just could unscrew it and put on a new one, I would be so better. I'd be the best pastor in the world. But it goes through all the filters. It goes through all the learning processes. And as a result of that, what starts as pure truth ends into my subconscious and into my intellect as distorted truth. Nancy prayed for me one night and I did not receive, and she was probably crushed that she couldn't help me get it. And the next day, the tape experience that I just told you, and then the next day I went up on the mountain seeking and I couldn't find. Oh, I had nice experiences with God, but I did not have what I was seeking, and that was my tongue experience. And then I realized maybe I was just trying too hard. The heck with it, I'll just forget it. So I stretched out in the sun and I just started praising Jesus, and then it came. And here's the point. Don't seek the gift. Seek the giver. Don't seek the tongues or the experiences that come. Seek Jesus. And if you seek Jesus, then you will bypass even faith for that gift that you wanted that you could not receive, and you'll bypass all of the things that come between you and Jesus. Seek Jesus. Peter said to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive," not "you might receive" or "you can receive after a while," "but you shall receive the Holy Ghost, for this is the promise to you," to you, to you, "and to all that are far off." So when Joel wrote his words, "It will come after this, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind," it was a prophecy. And in the book of Acts, it became fulfilled and now is in the process of being fulfilled, where the Holy Spirit comes in or comes out of us and we're more effective in our speaking to Jesus. We're more effective in our living the Christian witness day by day. It's when we put aside these things that we want and seek Jesus, then Jesus is going to give. I hope you're not like the man who received his tongues one evening amid great emotion, and the pastor told the guest speaker that the reason the guy's a little upset is that he's been looking for it for 10 years. You don't have to wait 10 years. You don't have to wait 10 minutes. It probably will take 10 seconds. But you don't have to have it. But you can. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that the experience of the baptism is something that helps us move ahead into the highlands of Christian victory. And it's not attainment, and it's not reward, and it's not holiness, but it's just a deeper dimension of our spiritual existence. It's a supernatural world of spiritual experiences. Father, we are meant to climb. We're not meant to camp. And we pray that this evening, as we dismiss, that you would bless every heart present. And by faith, we thank you for those experiences of the baptism that will be given to those people tonight who would, by faith, ask. You don't have to speak in tongues, but you get to. You can and you should. Father, we are asking for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We're asking for the supernatural energizing of your Spirit to bless every heart present. For the one who's not a Christian to become a Christian by faith in Jesus. To the Christian that's present to dedicate their life for victorious living. And for the Christians who are here who want to move into a new experience, who by faith would ask, we know that they will receive, because the Bible says again, if you ask, you shall receive.